Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to another edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview Show. My name is Jeremy Betts, and I am joined by my good buddy Andrew Wilbar to break down the NFC East and their draft needs heading into the final weeks of March. And pretty soon, Andrew, it's going to be draft month, and there's going to be a lot to break down. I know you've got another mock draft coming out soon. How do you view this NFC East, Andrew? It's a crazy division with some of the regression we saw from the Eagles last year and the Cowboys not being able to get over the hump. And then you've got two cellar-dweller teams in the Giants and the Commanders trying to make a bounce back. How do you see this division?
The two teams in the bottom cellar could determine a lot in this division, depending on what they do with the quarterback situation. And, I mean, it always lives and dies by the quarterbacks, and that's what everyone wants to talk about. But in this division, I think it's fair game for anyone. Just seeing how the offseason has played out, I would say the Eagles – slightly, I would probably say they would be my favorite still to come out of this division and on top next year. But Dallas isn't going to go away. And the other two teams, it is an attainable goal because you just look at the moves they made this offseason, nothing like awe-inspiring. Wow, these teams got significantly better and just separated themselves from the other two teams in the division. I don't really feel that way. I know that Washington lost some pieces, Giants lost some pieces, but if they have a good draft, they can compete immediately. If they get some pro-ready guys that can step in immediately, especially if you're Washington, Jaden Daniels comes in and pulls a CJ Stroud from last year, they're right up in the conversation again, despite having just revamped everything within the organization. So anything is possible in this division. It's no longer the NFC least, but it definitely is not as powerful a division as what we originally thought it was going to be at this point last season.
Somewhere between NFC least and NFC beast. But we're going to find out where they land here. Let's talk about these Dallas Cowboys, who had a very Cowboys season in 2023. Really good regular season, pushing as one of the top teams in the league, and then just flattened out when it came playoff time against who else but the Green Bay Packers, who take them out again in the playoffs. And then, Andrew, to follow it up, Jerry Jones said, "We are all in this free agency period and the draft," and they have made a total of four moves. And two of those are re-signings of players that were already on the team. Rico Dowdle re-signs a 1-year deal. Trent Sieg, their long snapper of all people, re-signs on a free agent deal. And then they bring in cornerback Jordan Lewis and sign Eric Kendricks. So some moves on defense there. How do you see this Cowboys team attacking the draft? They seem like a team that's kind of been complacent to start things out this offseason.
Yeah, I know they can do a whole lot, but I would have expected them to sign somebody additionally than what they signed. The offensive line needs help again. Mm-hmm. They lost Tyron Smith. They lost Tyler Biadasz. They need a new center. They need a new tackle. I believe that Tyler Smith, well, a guy that I was really high on 2 years ago, who's been great for them. I think he could slide out to left tackle, and that's fine. But you still need help on the interior. Fortunately, there is some depth there on day two. I think a guy like Christian Mahogany from Boston College in the third round could be a good value for them. Zach Zinner in round two, a guy from Michigan who was absolutely dominant before his injury. Guy who would have gone a lot higher. I think could have been a top 40 or so pick for sure if he wouldn't have had that injury. But he's going to fall on draft day some, I think. There's areas where they can address the interior of the line later on. In the first round, though, the guy I've got my eye on is Jackson Powers Johnson, a guy who is that if there was an attractive pick for an offensive lineman, it would be Jackson Powers Johnson, the bigger oversized center with athleticism. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be a fit for every scheme, but for Dallas, he makes a lot of sense. And I think that he has the mindset of what Dallas wants up front, and something they've lacked. And their offensive line, while it's been okay, they've lacked that nasty streak. And Jackson Powers Johnson has that, and Tyler Smith has that. Getting a couple of those guys, pairing them together on the line, I think will do wonders for that running game that struggled at times this past season. I think they're also going to look for a new running back on day two. Jonathan Brooks, the hometown Texas guy, is the guy that I would keep my eye on for Dallas in the second round. He'd be a great fit for them.
If you had to pick at 24, and I know you mentioned Jackson Powers Johnson, maybe this is it. Is he your ideal pick for them at 24, or do you think that they would look somewhere else? Maybe at wide receiver, maybe somewhere else along the offensive line. Is JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, their ideal pick at 24?
I would say he is, depending on which tackles are available. If an Amarius Mims happens to fall that far, I think he would be a great fit for them. I'm not the biggest Tyler Guyton fan, but even if Dallas decides, hey, we've got a lot of needs and we need to move back a few picks, and Guyton is still there at, say, pick 28, 29, they trade back a few spots, get an extra draft pick out of it, and he's still there. I think that would be worth the draft compensation to remove yourself from Jackson Powers Johnson and land a guy like a Tyler Guyton. And personally, my own personal rankings, I actually have Zach Frazier and Cedric Van Praan rated just as high as I do Jackson Powers Johnson. So from that, if you're looking at it from that perspective, you can get both of those guys probably on day two. Frazier's stock's been rising some, but I still have a hard time believing that he's a lock to go in round one. I just don't see it. I think that there are options for Dallas on the interior of the line. So that's why I would say prioritize tackle if you can get one in the first round, especially a guy like Mims, if he falls to 24. I know he's more of a right tackle than a left, but again, you have some versatility with Smith, can move him outside. There's different things they can do along the line, but for me, regardless of what style of offense they run under McCarthy, and he's typically a more of a pass-heavy guy, you got to get some guys in there that can protect Dak Prescott. Because the same thing we talked about when on our AFC East breakdown, when make sure you go and check that out if you haven't yet. If you don't protect Tua Tagovailoa, Miami Dolphins, you've got no chance. Same for you, Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott may not be an elite quarterback, neither is Tua, but they're that second-tier quarterback, and if you don't protect them, you're toast. So I think that they've got to go offensive line here in round one.
Yeah, invest in your investments if you're the Dallas Cowboys, and that would be the quarterback position and the protectors around him. So let's move on to the Philadelphia Eagles, Andrew, and maybe their two biggest additions weren't even players. It was another switch up at the offensive and defensive coordinator positions. Kellen Moore now the OC there, and then at defensive coordinator you got Vic Fangio coming into town, and their schemes are now the rule of the roost there in Philadelphia. Let's see some of their additions though. A couple quarterbacks, one via trade in Kenny Pickett from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then signing Will Greer to a contract just a couple days ago. But their biggest moves, Saquon Barkley and I would say Bryce Huff. There are their two biggest moves, one on offense there and then one on defense, adding in a pass rusher. Sounds like they're going to try to move on from Hassan Reddick and really ride with Bryce Huff. So, Andrew, this Eagles team, it's a good team. They've got a good roster still. What do they need to do, though, to improve and kind of turn the page on what was a very disappointing 2023 season?
I would say, I mean, you got to start with the defense. After how bad that unit was toward the end of last year, they have to fill in talent. When you look at a lot of their signings, obviously CJ Gardner-Johnson earned himself a good deal. Good for him. He's going to be a help in that secondary. You have Sidney Brown there, who I think is going to butt into a star in year two. He showed a lot of flashes last year, but with everything moving around and different pieces coming in, acquiring Kevin Byard, and it just, there was a lot, he was asked to do a lot of different things in year one, and as the defense started to regress, he did as well. I think with more talent around him in a legitimate role, I think he fixes a lot of the problems in the back half of the secondary, but you still got to add more corners. James Bradbury was awful last year. Absolutely awful. I don't know that Philly has the ability to easily get away from James Bradbury. I'm not sure what the financial details on that would be, but when you look at just what they are in person, Darius Slay's not getting any younger. James Bradbury's not getting any younger. We remember the days of Jalen Mills when they had those guys on the outside, and those were some bad Philly defenses. So they've got to get younger at corner. They need to add another corner. I'm looking at a guy, if Terrion Arnold is there in round one, he's a great pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think he's a wonderful selection. I gave him to him in Mock 3.0. Again, go check that out, fansfirstsports.com. That will be out beginning of this week. So he's one guy I've got my eye on. If they decide to go on the offensive side of the ball, which I think they're going to wait until day two, a guy that I would have my eye on the offensive line would be guard Christian Haynes from UConn. He'd be a good fit for him. Add some physicality on day two. He's that probably in that second, third round range. He'd be a good pick, solid pick for them on day two. Again, Cameron Jurgens was a center in college. I fully believe he is going to move back to center. They're not going to address it. I don't see Jackson Powers Johnson landing with the Eagles in round one. I don't see it. I think Cameron Jurgens slides to center. They brought back Landon Dickerson at guard. So now they just need to fill one more guard spot, and you got a good offensive line again. Malata's still there, still got the pieces on the outside. They just need to get that one other guy at guard. I think that could be their answer. But first, you got to address that defense.
You do. You absolutely do. And I think the offense is going to run very much through what Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley can do with their legs. So getting offensive linemen does help this team as well. If you had to pick, Andrew, maybe a sneaky need for the Philadelphia Eagles, do you have anything that stands out to you there?
For me, it's linebacker. I know they brought in a lot of pieces, but they're on a one-year deal. Zach Bond, one-year deal. Oren Burks, one-year deal. Devin White, one-year deal. Yep. And let's not forget, Devin White is not the Devin White that we saw a couple years ago. He's got the talent. He's got the ability to be a difference maker. But that they have tried and tried at the linebacker position without investing too much into the position. They've tried investing in that spot, but they've got to add a significant piece. Now, one guy that is going to be linked to them is Jeremiah Trotter Jr. because of his dad having played with the Eagles. That would be the kind of like the Joey Porter Jr. was the legacy pick last year for Pittsburgh. I think that this is the ideal pick for the Eagles on day two. If you land Jeremiah Trotter Jr., that is a big win for this defense. A guy who's got better instincts than what Trenton Simpson had at coming out of Clemson last year. Doesn't have quite the same size, but he's got fluidity and coverage. He can do a lot of different things. I think he's one of the guys that's really flying under the radar at this point in the draft. He's a guy that's probably going to be a second-round pick, but a great fit for defenses that need someone just to roam in coverage and be able to cover. And he's exactly what the Eagles need. N'Kobe Dean's been solid. He's shown flashes, but he can't stay healthy for the life of him. And you can't bank on that, especially when you have other linebackers that are just on one-year deals. So, Philly, get yourself a linebacker. Howie, get yourself a linebacker. Get yourself some corners. And, oh, yeah, I forgot. They lost Fletcher Cox, too, didn't they? You kind of need to address that, too.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, there's no big Georgia defensive tackle that they can just go get in the first round this year. So, I don't know what they're going to do. This might be a fun year for Eagles fans to see the direction that the Eagles take in their draft process. All right, let's move on to the New York Giants. A really good season 2 years ago, 2022. They defied expectations. They made the playoffs. It was a fun team under Brian Daboll. And then last year was garbage. They had a really bad year. There were talks midseason that Daboll might get fired. And then he kind of turned it around a little bit. They started playing better football down the stretch. They have a pretty good defense. They made a huge addition, Andrew, in adding Brian Burns for really a song based on what Brian Burns brings to your team as an edge rusher. So a great move inside that division. They brought in a couple offensive tackles in Matt Nelson and Jermaine Illuminor. They bring in running back Devin Singletary, Drew Locke to compete at quarterback. And I think that's going to actually be a competition there. Is this a team that sneaky could move up in the draft for, and I know they're picking at six, so not a lot of space. Could they move up for one of those top four quarterbacks, Andrew? Are they in play for that?
I think they're in play. I wouldn't bet on it at this point. Yeah. I don't have any inside insight that is telling me that they're going to. I know that they've worked out JJ McCarthy. I know they've done their homework on Jaden Daniels. I know they've done their homework on Drake May. But you're not going to get the Bears to trade out of you at number one. And at number two, the Commanders inside the division definitely aren't risking losing their guy for someone else in the division. They're not going to do that. So the earliest you can trade up is number three with New England. And that could be a good spot if New England feels that there's no other team that's going to move up for that fourth quarterback and they can get whichever guy. They don't have a huge difference between May and McCarthy, and the Giants do. Maybe they swing a trade there. I think the way to go, as much as I'm not the biggest fan of Daniel Jones, I think he's good enough with talent to be able to at least win you some games and put you in playoff contention. And if I'm the Giants here, I'm looking at the two guys at the top, Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze. I wouldn't even rule it out, Jeremy. We're hearing rumors about the Cardinals potentially trading out of pick four, which would then open the door to them potentially getting a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
That if I'm trading up for anyone, Jeremy, he's the guy I would trade up for. If the Cardinals don't take him at four, I would be willing to do a one pick. I'd be willing to move up one spot to secure Marvin Harrison Jr. because I believe there is that much of a difference between him and Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers. Not everyone's going to agree with that. Most people, it seems, don't. So if the Giants don't, obviously don't make the move. If you like Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze just as much, find your guy and you'd be happy with whoever you get. But if I'm the GM and I see wide receiver as the biggest need on this team, which you could argue it is, I'm going and getting Marvin Harrison Jr., who I believe is a difference maker from day one. And it, not just a difference maker. The other two guys are difference makers. But this guy has a chance to be one of the best receivers in the league early on in his career. It's not just because of his dad. It's because of him. He is a difference maker and one of the most clutch receivers we've seen at the collegiate level in a long time.
Absolutely. That number four spot is going to be real interesting because if quarterbacks go one, two, three, four, and you've got everybody else sitting there at five, people are going to be jumping the Giants or looking to jump the Giants as quickly as possible for one of these receivers. The Giants might say, hey, let's get ahead of all that and go ahead and get to number five, like you're saying, and get our pick at wide receiver. They might like the three guys, Adunze, Nabers, and Harrison, all about the same. They might stick and pick there. They might go offensive tackle. They could use a right tackle. So there's definitely options for the Giants there. Maybe a little bit further down, Andrew. I know we're talking about pick six here. Further down in the draft, where do you think the Giants could use some additional help?
I think running back is something that they can address on day two. That's obviously not something they learned with Saquon Barkley. Not a wise thing to always take one in year one, regardless of how good in round one, regardless of how good the running back is. There's going to be options at day two. I know they brought in Devin Singletary, but he doesn't bode a whole lot of confidence as a complete workhorse back for me. I know he had a good season last year, but you need to bring in more talent. I'm looking at a guy like Jalen Wright from Tennessee would be a great fit if he's there in the third round. Blake Corum from Michigan, third round. Excellent pickup there. I don't see Braylon. If they want a more power back, Braylon Allen could be in play at that time of the draft too. I think they could use a guy with a little bit more balance, maybe a little bit more pass catching ability. So that's why I'd keep an eye on a guy like Wright. And mock 3.0, I actually have them taking Trey Benson in round two, which I think could be an intriguing fit for them. A guy who can take on a lot of workload, but a guy who's also pretty versatile and can do a little bit of everything, which is something that the Giants could use in their backfield. So I wouldn't be surprised with them going running back. Another area where I think they could address is corner as well. Mm-hmm. They need to replenish some depth there, defensive back. Maybe a guy like Drew Phillips from Kentucky in round three could be a fit for them. And if we're going all the way out to day four, I'd throw out Jones, the corner from Boston College, who had a great combine performance. He'd be a fit for them, a guy who can play inside or out and has some versatility there. Not the strongest against the run, but for what the Giants do on defense, he could be an intriguing fit, an intriguing value in that third, fourth round range.
They're a very interesting team because they're going to determine a lot about the draft order and how things play out early in round one and beyond. All right, let's move to the final team in this division. It's the Washington Commanders. And Andrew, I'm looking at a team that made some very significant moves in free agency here. Austin Eckler signs a two-year deal. They bring in Zach Ertz. They get a couple guys on the offensive line, including Tyler. Help me out.
Biadasz.
Biotich. Okay, thank you. And then Cleveland Farrell, Dante Fowler Jr., Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner, James Pierre, Jeremy Chin, doing a lot of work on the defensive side of the ball. Andrew, is this a team that if they get the right quarterback, are they competing in this NFC East in 2024?
I think they are. If they decide to hold on to Terry McLaurin, there's rumors about them potentially looking to trade him. They've got the weapons on the outside. I know losing Curtis Samuel was a little bit of a hit, but they could still afford to add another receiver. They can do that on day two. But Allegretti was a good signing. Biotish, solid signing. That interior of the line was a big area of emphasis. Farrell, he's a good depth guy. Dante Fowler Jr., he's going to make his impact. Louvu is a guy that he's not the most attractive linebacker, but he's a guy who's going to make tackles in the open field.
Yeah.
And that's something that Washington really needed. He was just went under the radar in Carolina. He was honestly not a terrible signing. I thought it was a little rich, but for what they had the money to do. So, you know, get the guys that you think are the best fit for your system at that point. And I'm looking at a guy like Jeremy Chin. I think that was one of the best value signings of this free agency with his versatility, his ability to play different roles in the secondary. He's a guy that I think could do wonders for Washington. They could have afforded to add a safety in the draft. They would have probably had to take one early. But with a guy like Chin, He's a guy that can take away one of those needs early on and allow them to focus maybe a little bit more on the offensive side of the ball and helping out their new quarterback. And I think that's what they were doing with some of these free agent signings, putting such that strong emphasis on the defensive side of the ball.
I like it. I like what they did. And let's talk about the quarterback position, though, Andrew, because they're sitting at number two. I mean, there have been talks that they could be in the market to trade up to number one. I don't know if that's going to be the case at this point after the Bears deal Fields to the Steelers and very clearly are going to take a quarterback with their first pick. Washington, though, at number two, Andrew, who do you think they go after at quarterback? I think, you know, you bring in a guy like Marcus Mariota and that kind of screams Jaden Daniels as your starter with him as in the backup role. But also you move on from Sam Howell. And if you were to go with Drake May, that's a former teammate of Sam Howell, really good friend with Sam Howell. So a lot of people are like, nah, you ship Sam Howell out of town, you're going to go Drake May. I don't know. Which direction do you think Washington goes at quarterback at number two, if indeed they stick there and pick and let the Bears take Caleb Williams?
I think it is Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is my number one quarterback in this draft. I've said it before. I don't think Caleb Williams is a home run pick definitively. He could be, but there's some concerns. I don't think there's any sure thing when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL draft. And there's no sure thing with Jaden Daniels, but I think he's more of a sure thing than what Caleb Williams is. And that's why I have him rated higher. He still struggles getting through all of his progressions, but he wasn't always asked to at the collegiate level. I know he's not the youngest quarterback coming out, but he's played a lot of football. He's a winner. He knows how to come up big in big moments, and he knows when to use his legs. He doesn't abuse his mobility. He knows when to use it and use it properly. And that's a big thing for Washington, and they've missed so many times at quarterback. This is the time they've got to hit.
Yeah.
I think Jaden Daniels is the guy that provides that for them. I think the bigger battle is Drake May versus McCarthy at three. I think Drake May's kind of slid out of that conversation for QB2. We could always be wrong. I was wrong about CJ Stroud last year. I bought into the rumors that Texans were off the bandwagon. And then an hour before the draft, all of the Vegas odds just go wonky. And it's like, okay, there's something up here. And then sure enough, they take CJ Stroud. So I'm very intrigued to see what happens with the Commanders at two. I don't think they trade this pick. I think they stay there and take Daniels. I think he's a good fit for what they want to do, can change that culture there. I think Daniels is the guy that can lead them to some winning football moving forward.
There's going to be a lot of smoke blowing about these quarterbacks as we get closer to the draft. You're going to hear things like you're talking about, Team X is out on player Y, and it's going to be crazy because you've got so many teams that need quarterbacks and several really good prospects this year to vie for. So a very interesting situation for the Commanders and for the rest of the teams picking in that top five range. That's going to do it for us here on the NFC East draft breakdown here on the FFSN NFL Draft Preview Show. We'll be back next week. We're going to be breaking down the AFC and NFC South divisions and talking about which directions those teams could go in their respective draft situations. So until then, we'll talk to you next time. It's been Jeremy Betts and Andrew Wilbar here on the FFSN NFL Draft Preview Show.